Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmanville. It's good to see each one of you here today, this special service where there's a transition of leadership taking place, but it's also a time when we've gathered to worship the great I Am as well. So a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today. We're certainly glad to see you here today for this special occasion. So as we enter into this time of singing praises to the King, I'd like you to receive this call to worship in the form of a prayer. So would you join me in prayer? Into your presence we come, God of grace and the God of peace, who was and is and ever shall be the Eternal One. Into fellowship we come, bound together in the love that died and rose again for us. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So would you please join in the worship team in singing praises to the King?
I invite you to stand as we worship this morning. And during our first song, the ushers will be coming forward to collect our tithes and offerings. And the children may come forward for My Coins Count. And the tube is on that side this morning. So worship with us.
Here. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone gathered here this morning. We just want to lift up the offering and tithes that have been freely given today for CrossNet Ministries. We thank you for the people involved with CrossNet Ministries, and we ask that the monies given this morning would bless the programs that they are involved in, Lord, that they would be used to further your kingdom, Lord, that they would bring a blessing upon the people that are involved and that receive the many gifts that are part of CrossNet, Lord, and that they would go and further your kingdom, Lord, and that more people would come to know you through those programs, Lord. We ask you all these things in your name. Amen.
Heaven, you came running. There was mercy in you.
for your heavenly dove, your spirit, Lord, that comes and comforts us, Lord. I just pray that your presence would be felt in this room today, Lord. I just pray that you be with Larry and Tony and Eric as they bring us their stories and testimonies of what you have done in their lives, and as we have the licensing service for Tony this morning. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, again, welcome to Bowmansville. In this special leadership transition service this morning. So you may have looked in your bulletin this morning and saw there's going to be three preachers. And you're wondering, how long is this going to get? Because it's pretty dangerous to have three preachers preach at the same or share at the same service. So I trust that it won't get real long this morning. So I'm going to be sharing my journey to this day. And following that, Tony will come, and I think he's going to have a children's story first of all. So children, if you're expecting a children's story, yes, it is coming. It's in the pipeline. And then I think Teresa's going to share a little bit, and then Tony's going to share his journey, and then Bishop Eric's going to share his reflections of the journey. Eric stepped into this bishop role after Carl Sensick retired, so these plans were already in motion when Eric became bishop. So when Eric stepped into his role, he brought a whole new level of understanding to this transition. Because he experienced a similar transition at Blainsport Mennonite. He transitioned from associate pastor to lead pastor, just like Tony's going to be doing. And the lead pastor there stepped into the associate pastor role. So Eric has had some very firsthand experience at walking through this a transition like this. So thank you, Eric, for your wise and continuing counsel and input into this journey. So my journey to this day, wow, where do I begin? Well, I stepped into the lead pastor role in January 1st, 2008, after seeking the face of God and sensing a clear call from Him and from this congregation to do so. I heard God clearly speak to me during one of my quiet times while reading Isaiah chapter 30. I came to verse 21, and this was during a time when Sandy and I were discerning a call to serve as lead pastor here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says this: "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And when I read those words, it was like God spoke to my spirit. So I went home that day and told Sandy that, my wife Sandy, that God has spoken. So that cemented my call to serve as lead pastor. So I stepped into the role of lead pastor, which much fear and trembling, relying on God to lead, God, and direct. And then after about 9 or 10 years of serving as lead pastor, and as I began to approach age 60, I began to think about the future and understood that I wasn't going to be serving as lead pastor here at Bowmansville Mennonite Church forever. But the question was, how do you transition? How do you retire? So at that point in time, Sandy and I were meeting with a financial advisor through Everence, and they suggested that Sandy and I develop a timeline for the possible transition to take place. So I, with the help of Carl, since my bishop at that time, we began to develop this timeline. And as I thought about other leadership transitions that I had observed here at Bowmansville, I began to remember some very painful experiences, which in turn provided even more motivation for the need to develop a timeline. Because you as a congregation have experienced the abrupt resignation of several pastors, which has caused some deep pain and some deep heartache. Because someone approached me and said, "What's wrong with us? Why do our pastors keep retiring?" And I assured that person, "There's nothing wrong with you." But I determined in my heart that I would want to desire, or I wanted or desired to model something completely different, believing that a transition like the one that we're proceeding through could bring a degree of healing to some of those past hurts that you've experienced. I also realize that this transition has not been completely flawless as well. But at the same time, I also believe that it was in response to God's leading and guiding. In Ecclesiastes 3, it speaks of there being a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." One of those activities, I believe, is me serving as lead pastor. So in the beginning of 2018, after the timeline was developed, it was time to begin implementing the timeline. So in the summer of 2018, which seems like a long time ago, Bishop Carl and I approached Associate Pastor Tony about the idea of him stepping into the lead pastor role sometime in the future. So you may wonder, why did you approach Tony? Well, Tony became associate pastor in 2016. And so through the years, we've been meeting for breakfast once a month, maybe sometimes twice a month. And during those times, we engaged in conversations about many, many things. And it was during one of those breakfasts that I heard Tony begin to express this restlessness, this discontentment in his spirit. I'm sure sensing a weaver's drilling wells is a great job, but when God starts stirring and creating that discontentment, dissatisfaction with where you're at, I think it's a way that God uses to sort of nudge us and to move us from where we are. Because I clearly remembered how I felt when I was working at Conestoga Wood. I worked there for 32 years, and I remembered what I experienced, exactly the same thing that Tony was talking to me about. So I think we talked about that several times, and so I filed that away in the back of my mind, thinking, I wonder what God is up to here. Could it be that he's stirring, nudging, preparing for Tony to step into that role? So that's the reason why we approached him, because of that experience that we had in sharing that restlessness and that discontent. So at that point, Tony and Teresa were given time to prayerfully discern if God was indeed calling Tony to step into the lead pastor role. So after several months of seeking God's face, Tony responded to Carl and I in the affirmative. He and Teresa both affirmed God's call to the lead pastor role. So at that point, the timeline was then shared with the pastoral team in the spring of 2019 for their input and their counsel. Then in the fall of 2020, I was on sabbatical from October to the end of December. And if you remember, when I made that announcement that I was going to be going in sabbatical, I said so that I can return to finish strong. And I think I even used the words that I'm looking towards retirement. So I was trying to signal to you that this is what's coming. Well, it was during that time when I was on sabbatical that it was reinforced in my spirit that my retirement as lead pastor was indeed the right thing to be doing. Then in the late winter, early spring of 2021, the timeline was introduced to the church council for their input. And then the fall of 2021, it was introduced to you as a congregation. And we received some feedback, and there was a couple tweaks and things made to the timeline from your input. Then in the February of this year, you affirmed Tony to step into the lead pastor role today. So I'll be stepping into the associate pastor role today, and Tony will be stepping into the lead pastor role today. And I'm going to be serving as associate pastor until we go through a process of calling an associate pastor to serve here at Bowmansville, and Bishop Eric will lead that process of assembling a search team to fill that role. So going forward, Sandy and I are choosing not to worship here on Sunday mornings through the months of November and December, and we're choosing to do that to give Tony and Teresa some space to step into the lead pastor role. I'll be working very closely behind the scenes with Tony during the entire month of November, as Tony and I will both be supported full-time during the month of November. And then beginning December the 1st, I'm going to be supported a quarter time, and then as associate pastor, and Tony will be the only full-time pastor at that particular time. So when the associate pastor has been called, then I will be completely retiring from any pastoral responsibilities here at Bowmansville. And also, part of my future plans also include, beginning January of 2023, I'll be serving part-time as chaplain for Brubacher Excavating, and it's a brand new role, and I'm looking forward to that challenge of stepping into that role and a whole new world of opportunity for me. So I'm excited about that. So that's been my journey to today, and now I'm going to invite Pastor Tony to come and share his part.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. Hey, guys, over here. This way. Over here. I'd like to greet everyone in Jesus' name. So, I want to see how good you guys have been listening this morning. This is a special day. What is happening today? We're eating food here. I love it. I love it. That is great. I'm gonna be coming lead pastor. You can tell where his mind is. He likes all the desserts that come along with that. Well, Larry and I are going to switch jobs here at church. I'm going to be the lead pastor, and Larry's going to be the associate pastor. So things change all around us. Every year, your grade changes at school, hopefully. Hopefully you did all your homework and studying to go to the next grade. Maybe you learn to tie your shoes for the younger children here, or maybe you learn to ride a bike. Someday you might learn to drive a car or maybe play a musical instrument. So there's lots of things that change all around us. Well, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that Moses was really old. So I'm applying this story to Larry and myself. So Larry's the old guy in this story. So... Larry's the old guy. God told Moses that he's going to be calling him home to himself soon. And Moses had been leading Israel for 40 years. That's a long time. But God, he called the next leader. You know who the next leader was? It was Joshua. God told Moses that Joshua is going to be the next leader. And Moses, he went and he encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous to lead the nation of Israel. And Joshua was strong and courageous, and he led the nation of Israel for a bunch of years. They kind of fight online how long that time was, so it was quite a few years. But the most important thing that Joshua did, he followed what God was telling him to do. That's the most important part. Joshua followed what God was telling him to do. So the Bible is very helpful to us. When things change around us, we can know that God is going to be there and God is going to help us even though things change. Even when we can't control it, God is going to be there and help us. Just like I know God is going to help me to be pastor because he helped Joshua be the leader of his people Israel. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and go back to your seats. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, just pour a blessing on these children. I just pray that you will lead them and guide them every day of their lives. And when things change all around them, I just pray that they know that you are there leading them and guiding them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Teresa's going to share first, but I'd like to have for a prayer for all those in the Philippines as they were hit by a typhoon, and there's people killed and injured, and they need a lot of aid. So will you join me in prayer, praying for them? Heavenly Father, you know exactly what is going on in the Philippines right now. You know what they need. I just pray that your spirit would be poured out upon them, that you would give them peace and comfort, that you would bring them the aid that they need. I just pray that you would be near to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Teresa's going to share now.
Good morning. Here we are. The day has arrived. The day we have prayed about, anticipated for. It felt long in coming and yet fast. Like Tony has mentioned, when Tony first asked me if I had anything to share, my thoughts were, of course not. I don't want to speak in front of people. However, I kept having inner stirring that I should share at least briefly. So here I am. My hope is that someone may be encouraged and blessed. I encourage every one of you to get out of your comfort zone, whatever that may look like for you. I believe I surprised Tony when I told him I would share not too long ago, just about a week. I have learned over the past 5 years that God is working in me, and I have the most growth, unfortunately, when I'm out of my comfort zone. Many of you have already heard about our journey to this day, however, some of you have not. Larry presented his retirement plan to Tony quite some time ago, which we responded that we will pray about it. It didn't take me long to let Tony know my answer is yes. That didn't come easy for me, even though the time was short. Many of you know my personality screams loudly an introvert. And at the time, when Larry came to Tony with this idea, I was in an inner struggle with ministry. I wasn't loving it. Ministry was difficult for me and has many moments of being outside my comfort zone. Also, sacrifices we as a family make. Soon after, on a warm, sunny morning, I was having my devotions outside on our patio, and John 6, 27a stood out to me. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that morning by giving me inner peace about Tony being a full-time pastor. Who am I to stand in God's way? How can I be the one who stops people from hearing about Jesus or being encouraged from the pew? God, who am I to get in your way? You would think, after that morning, it would be easy sailing to today, but it hasn't. During our time of waiting, Satan had his moments with me. He would send me thoughts of lies to my mind. Things like, you can't be a good pastor's wife. You don't fit the mold of what this should look like. You aren't strong enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not intellectual. I'm not smart enough. These are the thoughts the enemy would feed me. I am sorry to admit that there were moments that I listened to them. Or why does this have to be us? Why do we need to fill this role? But then I'm reminded of Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I share this with you because I want to bring the enemy's lies into the light. I don't want to stay in the dark, the unmentioned. God is light and has power over darkness. Also, me sharing gives you the congregation, lets you know how you can pray for us and what you can pray against. You, the church, have been in prayer for us leading up to this day, and for the last while, I have walked in peace. Thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers. They have carried us. If the enemy is telling you lies, do not give him power. Tell a fellow believer. Ask for prayer. Give God the power by bringing it to light. Tony and I, we don't have all the answers, but our goal is to point you to Jesus. It's not about us and the work we do, but about God and allowing him to work through us. I never dreamed of Tony being a pastor when we started our lives together 22 years ago. I could not see this in our future. But that is why this day is so amazing, because of the transformation that God has done in us. For God to bring us to this day, it is not about me or us, but all about God and his power. God is not only calling Tony and I, but you as well. What is God calling you to do, asking you? I want to encourage every one of you to step into it. It may not be easy, but he has a plan for each one of you. Allow God to use you to point others to Jesus. Our journeys are all very different, but let us all have the same goal of pointing people to Jesus. I also want to thank Larry and Sandy for teaching us and mentoring us over the last 5.5 years. As Tony served in the associate pastor role, we have learned a lot from both of you. Thanks for your kindness, and thanks for being open with us.
Thank you for sharing, Teresa. And yes, it was a surprise that she wanted to share, because Teresa is definitely an introvert, and speaking in front of people she has grown a lot, but it's definitely something she's not very comfortable with. Well, today it's finally here. Feels like it's been a long time. The day that Carl and Larry, we met for breakfast, and Larry presented his retirement timeline, that was in 2018. God had called me to the associate pastor role, and that journey was a process of God working in me and on me, showing me where He wanted me to be. Yeah, I was working full-time, filling the associate pastor role. And like Larry said, there was this restlessness in my heart and my soul. I knew that there was more. And I had this frustration level building in me, trying to find what God's plans were for me. It felt like nothing was happening. And it wasn't just one area in my life. It wasn't just my job. It was multiple areas in my life where this restlessness was stirring in me. God's timing is perfect, and He was working even when I couldn't see Him at work. So Larry and Carl presented me with Larry's timeline, and after spending months seeking God to see if He was calling me to the lead pastor role, Teresa received her answer like right away. And I'm like, God, where are you? It was like silence. There was nothing. And I had to keep pressing into God, keep seeking and searching to what He was calling me to. Because I believe it has to be a calling from God. Because when things get tough, and they will, you have to remember that God has called you to this role. Because if you do it from your own heart, you're not going to hold up when things get heavy and when there's struggles ahead, and there will be. And God was faithful. He answered in one simple word. It was yes. See, I was praying very specifically, God, are you calling me to the lead pastor role? Are you calling me to be lead pastor? And God answered yes. And this happened while I was driving and praising Him, heading to another job site to drill another hole. I didn't hear it with my ears, but I knew it in my heart and my soul that it was God speaking to me. You might say, how do you know? Well, I know. I just know it in my heart and my soul. And that was in the spring of 2019. From there until today, I know that God is calling me. And every day as I'm serving as lead pastor, I know that God is calling me. He has been preparing me step by step. Today we're making that transition from Larry leading to me being the leader. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm feeling my way through this transition. It's definitely different from running a drill rig and being a part-time pastor. Yeah, I was associate pastor, and I learned a lot over the years. Larry's sabbatical was a huge help to me. I saw what it took to run the church, all the planning ahead, scheduling. I had to contact speakers and make sure they were still planning on coming, and contacting them again, taking care of funerals along the way. But there's a lot more things that I haven't done yet. And I'm sure Larry has a very long list of stuff that he's going to show me in the coming days. And there is a big change. I'm the one that must deal with the tough stuff. Where before, I was aware of the situations that were going on and knew what was happening, yet I went, Larry, tag, you're it. You can deal with that. I'm going to step over here and let you handle it. Larry's going to be there to help me, support me, give me pointers in areas that I need help. And with Eric's help, these guys will be a place that I can go to for counsel and help when I need it. And I have a great pastoral team that I can go to for help. I'm not alone in this new adventure. Most importantly, God is with me. God in His wisdom brought Eric to us, like Larry said. As our bishop, this has been very helpful during this time of preparation for today. He's giving us insight and wisdom to things that could show up along this time of transition. Well, I'm still in the process of figuring out education. There's three options that I'm looking at. I'm praying about it. I'm collecting information. I'm taking some classes to see where God is leading me. I'm waiting for Him to show me direction and which way He wants me to go. And that's one area you as a church can continue to pray for me. What direction should I go in for education? As this day was still far away, there was a bunch of what-ifs popping up in my mind, and I believe that was the enemy attacking me. And I would just have to hand them over to God and give Him control over each thing. And now we're here, and I'm at peace with everything that is going to change. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. And I believe that is because of your prayers for Teresa and I and our family during this time. And one thing I have learned, it's just to yell cannonball and jump in. Let God take care of all the little things that might pop up in the future, because if I stop to worry about those things, it would be overwhelming. Just dive in and let God handle it. That doesn't mean you don't plan and take care of things, but all those things that you could worry about, what if this, what if that, just let God take care of it. There also is a big responsibility that falls on my shoulders, and that is preaching God's word, no matter what the world wants to hear or the pressures that they put on me to change. I am accountable to God for everything that I say. And I'm stepping out in faith, knowing that God will lead me and guide me. God will take care of my family, and God has a plan. He has a plan for me, and He has a plan for each one of you. And we all need to follow His plans for us. So I'm now going to turn the service over to Eric.
So Elijah and Elisha, they were walking on together, talking, and behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into pieces, and he took up the cloak of Elijah, which had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the river of the Jordan. And he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elijah and Elisha went over. And I just had to, consider these verses as we're doing this transition, that there is a cloak falling off of Larry right now, in this moment. And Tony's going to be taking up that cloak. And he's going to decide, am I going to trust the same God Larry trusted? Am I going to put this cloak on, and am I going to do ministry wherever God may call me to do that ministry, and however He calls me to do that? And we know the story of Elisha. His ministry increased. It was greater than that of Elijah. And so our prayer as a congregation is that Tony's ministry would become so much greater, greater than you can imagine. And we're told that we have that God who can do abundantly, exceedingly more than all that we can ask or imagine. And we look forward to what He's going to do. My reflections of all of this. It actually comes after I was installed as a bishop 2 years ago this month. October is 2 years. And after I'm installed, then Carl takes me aside and starts telling me some things I need to know. And this was one of those things. That there's a process in place here at Bowmansville where Larry is going to be retiring. And I'm thinking, here, I'm coming on board, and here's another retirement. I keep seeing very capable leaders retiring. A good friend, Keith Weaver, just retired. And so I start my ministry, and Larry's retiring, and Tony's going to be coming on board. And Carl filled me in. And he gave me some of the background to that, and that there was a plan in place, and I was thankful for that. And it took a little while for it to really sink in, but then for me to realize, as has been spoken about by Larry and Tony, maybe God is doing something here, because I've gone through a similar thing back at Blainsport. I've had that experience. I worked at G. Earl Martin. Perhaps you know the business. Ed Ringler knows that I worked there. We worked together at some points. And while I was at G. Earl Martin, much like you, Tony, I felt a stirring. And I felt God making it very clear while I was there, God saying, don't get too good at this. Now, I'd be at G. Earl Martin's for 10 years, but don't get too good at this. I was associate pastor, but I was putting in my time. I wanted to get good, and I didn't let myself get good. And so the time came when Jim Fonestock, who was lead pastor at Blainsport, and I, we made a similar decision. Let's make this change. But we didn't realize some things on that front end, some things that I want to help you guys, and if I can, to look at the signs. But I didn't realize, first of all, that I didn't know everything. I didn't know that. I thought I did. I thought I knew everything. And I went in with a certain arrogance. And Jim was very patient with me, but we needed to have some conversations. And I want to allow that conversation to go on, because, Tony, I believe you're going to want to run. And the congregation is going to be grieving. And Larry's going to still be searching, saying, yes, I've started something new, but here at Bowmansville, I was in charge. And I feel comfortable here at Bowmansville. I know how to lead at Bowmansville. And so we've got to navigate some of these feelings. And that's something that Jim and I didn't think about when we went into it. And so there's these feelings. And the feeling that you as a congregation have, you've appreciated Larry. You're going to continue to appreciate Larry. And here's something that I've grown to hate. It's change. I hate change. But you know, I realize that good things can't happen if change doesn't happen. If my children wouldn't have changed and grown up, they'd still be at home eating my food. And I'm so glad that they grew up and they're out and they're making an impact in the world. And so there's change that's good. And while I hate change, and many of us probably hate change, let's embrace this change and see where God's leading us. Tony, Teresa, Hannah, Colin, Rachel, you're going to experience some change. People are going to be looking at you differently and expecting things from you. And I realized, as Tony and Teresa spent time at the Credentialing Commission, the LMC Credentialing Commission, and were asked some questions while they were showing signs of maturity, they were showing signs of dependence on God. And that day, we had a worship experience at the Credentialing Commission where they decide, can we give you this role? Can we allow you to step in as an ordained lead pastor at Bowmansville? Teresa, you said you're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not all these things. You're not enough. You're right. You're not. And Tony, you're not either. And when I started as a lead pastor, I thought I was, and God needed to humble me. I think it's better to realize you're not able to. You're not big enough. You're not smart enough. You're not able enough. This is more than a secular job. You can get good at a secular job. This is something more. You're dealing with the spirits, the souls of individuals. You're talking about eternal things. I mean, you're not good enough. And that's where you and I, we need to come back again and again and again to say, God, I need you. I am weak. And when you're weak, that's when you can become strong. That's when Jesus comes in and says, yeah, I can deal with the weak people. It's the arrogant ones that I have to humble. And so you're in the right place. Yeah, you're not smart enough. You're not able enough. You can't do it all. And he wants to use you. He wants to use it. So I look so forward. I look so forward to working with Tony, Teresa, with the whole family, with Hannah, Colin, Rachel, with the leadership team, with Larry, as you continue to discern even those next steps, what happens after a year. I look forward to working with this congregation as we together put our minds together. But more than that, we call on the Lord. And we say, God, what do you want here at Bowmansville for the next leaders? I remember preaching back a while ago and said, you know, this is kind of easy what's happening here. And the easy part of it is that I felt the Lord was in it. The easy part was that we weren't trying to invent our own wheel to try to do something new. We were following through on what the Lord was already putting into place, calling you to leadership, and then making that connection, seeking God in advance. And I see too often churches looking outside of their congregations, trying to find a new fit, and it doesn't fit. And then they go outside again to look for a new fit, and it doesn't fit. And here you have somebody who grew up in the congregation, somebody who knows you, somebody who loves you and loves you deeply. I look forward to what God is going to do. So, Larry, you have a special sign here that you want to give. So Larry, I'm going to call you to lead us in this next part.
Well, Tony, the moment has arrived. This is a moment that we've been praying about. We've been asking God to lead, God, and direct, and He has done that. So the moment has finally come. I just want to tell you that I've watched you grow as a kid in the youth group when I was youth pastor, as a kid in the youth group to today. That God has changed you, has transformed you, has made you into the godly man that you are today. So I see God's fingerprints all over you and Teresa. And so it is today the day with a deep, deep sense of peace, a deep, deep, well, also a touch of joy also, to be able to hand the responsibilities of lead pastor over to you this morning. And I realize that as you step into this, one of the things I've observed about you through the years of serving with you as associate pastor is you have this deep faith, a deeper faith than I do, I think, because sometimes I was like fear and trembling, and you're like, okay, God's got this. And it's like, okay, He does. But thank you for being there and encouraging me to put my faith and trust in God also. So in a minute, I want to hand you the Bible just as a symbol of turning the responsibilities over to you as lead pastor. And I want you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I support you and Teresa 110%. I will be there. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. I'll be your encourager. I'll be there to help you get started on this journey. Just want to share a few scriptures with you. 1 Peter 5:2-4 says, "Be a shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseer, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away." So as a symbol of handing these responsibilities of lead pastor over to you, I present you with this Bible. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So God bless you, Tony.
Brothers and sisters, we've gathered in the presence of God and this assembly to install Anthony Whitmer as lead pastor of this congregation. We believe the Holy Spirit has called Tony to serve as lead pastor, and so we want to commit this time to the Lord, the one who calls. So would you enter into prayer with me? Lord, we approach you in humility and dependence as we offer Tony Whitmer to your service. Take our words and commitments and bind us to your master plan here today. Give us your wisdom to see our part in this building of your kingdom as we ordain Tony in faith, knowing that you are the Lord of the church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tony, I'm going to ask, or Teresa, I'm going to ask you to come up with Tony here. I have some questions for Tony, and you can kind of nudge him to answer these, because I didn't ask Tony these questions beforehand, so you're hearing his raw answers.
Oh, boy.
This is a very serious time where he has to do some reflecting, and he's making some promises to God and to you as a congregation. And so, Tony, first of all, do you hold to the promises you made at your baptism and your ordination? Can you answer, I do?
I do.
And do you believe that this calling and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit? And can you answer, I do?
I do.
And will you seek to be a faithful pastor in prayer, in setting forth the scriptures, and in seeking the good of this congregation? Can you answer, I will?
I will.
And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters here at Bowmansville? Can you answer, I will?
I will.
Now, as a congregation, as part of this covenant and commitment we're making here today, you've heard the commitment to ministry that Tony has shared and Teresa has shared as well. And I have to ask you, will you receive him as your lead pastor? Will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with Tony? Will you support Tony, Teresa, and their family as they serve this congregation at Bowmansville? And if you can you indicate that by standing? I don't know if you know the gift that you have here. But there are people who are saying, yes, you're our pastor, not perfect, but we support you. We walk with you. We love you. Wow. I want to invite at this time those who are active or retired credentialed persons, if you would come forward at this time to lay hands on Tony as we have this prayer of commitment. I would include in that the current leadership team and their wives. So if you could come forward, I'd also invite you children to come forward. And I would also ask close family and friends, if you would like to come forward to lay hands on Tony, you may do that as well at this time. And as a congregation, I invite you, as we pray together, as I lead this prayer, I invite you to extend your hand toward Tony and Teresa and their family, praying this blessing over them, charging them with this ministry. So if you can, would you extend your hand toward them? God, you call your people to service through the church. Bless the covenant that we've made here together as pastor and congregation. We thank you for calling to ministry, that calling that comes really to each of us. But on this day, we especially thank you for the calling to pastoral ministry. Lord, would you be the source of strength for Tony? Would you give him the abilities that he lacks? Would you have your hand on his family as they need you during this time? Lord, you've called them to be set apart in a special way. So, Lord, we ask that you would fully provide for them. Lord, give to them the fruit of the Spirit. May each of them see it, and may Tony even demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And importantly, Lord, we ask you to bind us to one another, congregation and pastor, bind us to one another in the bond of peace. And now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete, Tony, in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and you may find your seats. Larry, Tony. I've just given to Larry and Tony their certificates of ordination and the installation. So at this very moment, Tony is your lead pastor, and Larry is your associate pastor. And I look forward to celebrating, as one of the children said earlier, I came for the food. I look forward to celebrating with you this great thing here at Bowmansville. Larry, I'll turn it over to you.
I think at this time the worship team come forward and lead us in a closing song.
I can see water.
Just a few announcements before Eric comes and leads us in the benediction. The Operation Christmas Child Shoebox displays in the foyer. There's boxes there for you to pick up, to fill, and return by next Sunday, which is November the 6th already. So just want you to be aware of that. You may see the sign at the door that says return by November 6th. Well, November 6th is like next Sunday morning. So please pick those up and fill them and bring them back next Sunday. This morning, everybody's invited to a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall in the basement. Instructions for that is when Eric has the benediction, you can file through the overflow area down the stairs, fill your plates at the tables, and then enter into the fellowship hall in the main basement for the fellowship meal. And following the meal, at 1 o'clock, if anyone is interested, Justin Zimmerman and Crystal Zimmerman will be showing their pictures from Alaska. They went on a family trip to Alaska this summer. And if you're interested in seeing pictures, please come to the overflow by 1 o'clock and you can share in those pictures as well. And then this evening will be the Holy Spirit Fellowship beginning at 6:30 here in the church basement to invite the Holy Spirit to come and do his work in and through us. So I think at this time, Tyler Ringler has an announcement to share about the youth group. And then following Tyler's announcement, then Eric will come and lead us in the benediction. So Tyler.
Good morning. Y'all, I always wanted to do that. Okay. So I'm just here to touch on something in your bulletins about our silent auction that is going to be moved to next Sunday, so it's going to be open for next Sunday. So if you woke up today and you were like, I forgot that the silent auction was today, I can't vote no more or something. Well, hey, you are in luck. It is open till next Sunday.
Let's stand together as we pray. Lord, you are good to us. We're so thankful for you being in our midst, guiding our time here today. Lord, we ask that you go ahead of us in this week. Show us those things that we ought to be doing. Show us those things in our lives that we need to be doing that we're not doing, and those things that we are doing that we shouldn't be, that we would expel them from our lives. Show us, Lord. And then give us the strength to follow through with that. Lord, we thank you for the meal that's been provided for us here this morning, for the many hands that went into making it. Lord, we ask that you would bless it to our bodies for your service, that we may glorify you, that we may give you the honor that you deserve. Now let's sing together as we close. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. Go in peace.